Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning and welcome to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. I'm very glad you could tune in and join me this morning. This is a day the Lord has made, and because of Jesus, you and I still have every reason to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm extremely pleased to share with you this morning that joining me is a very dear friend and ministry partner of many years, Pastor Angelo Frazier, who happens to be the pastor of outreach and care at River Lakes Community Church right here in Bakersfield. Good morning, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning, sir. It's good to be here.
We have a lot to discuss.
We're going to solve all the problems of the world, right?
In the next 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I know that the subject matter we're going to be discussing this morning has been very, very important to you for a long period of time.
Yes, it has.
And let's start where I believe is appropriate to start, turning our attention to the authority of Scripture.
Exactly.
I really do believe that if anyone is to truly understand and appreciate the whole subject matter of homosexuality, and again, emphasizing the truth of Scripture, Christian or not, at some point, that individual, if they really are seeking truth, they're going to have to turn to the Holy Scriptures. What say you?
Absolutely. There's no other way. And that's the beauty of this. No matter what it is, it's Christ is the answer.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. I think we've elevated a lot of these issues above everything, and they're really not. They are sin.
Yes.
And so, yes, the Scripture is the only way.
At His Way Out Ministries, for at least the past 15 to 20 years, not only here in America, but abroad, specifically in South America and the Caribbean, we've been emphasizing to the body of Christ that the real issue we have faced, the real issue we face today, really, in many, many respects, is not homosexuality. The crisis is the Lordship of Christ and the authority of Scripture.
And absolutely. And where that starts at, the issue of right to life. I know this is not an abortion broadcast, but you think about, because we have stepped over and messed up and totally destroyed the issue of life, it is given that illusion that then, well, shoot, if a woman has a choice over her body and do what she wants, then as a man, I can do what I want with my body.
True.
This all started from that, the issue of life.
Excellent point. Well, I have searched and searched the totality of Scripture, both the Old and the New Testament.
Yes.
I have yet to find a Scripture, just one, that validates, encourages, or promotes homosexual practice.
You will not find that Scripture.
Wouldn't you think that would be, okay, case closed, let's move on, but that is not the case.
That's not the case. Unfortunately, we see in our local, in the church body as America, we see a kind of stepping away from this issue because it's so divisive. It's been around for so long, people just don't even want to argue with it, don't even want to approach, because it's so emotional.
And that's a good point you bring to this discussion. Why has this topic been so divisive and continues to be so divisive to the church?
Well, I think one of the reasons is because it's extremely personal.
Yes.
I mean, how do we know, I had a guy come to me the other day. He was involved with another lady and everything, and he felt strongly about that God was leading him this way, away from his family. Mm. And he wanted me to affirm that in some kind of way. And I said, no, I'm not going to affirm that. It is still against what God has. And so that anything that pulls away from God's original plan is sin.
Yes.
And same-sex attraction, all those things fall within that realm. That's why I was saying earlier, there are three things that I look for and keep in my mind when I'm dealing with these issues. Number one is the controlling of the narrative. Number two, suppression of the truth. And number three, misplaced identity.
Yes.
And anything away from God's word can be brought off, can be structured into those three areas. So when you're talking about it, you gotta say, wait a second. You can use whatever words you want, but you can't decide what they mean.
Yes. And as I shared with you before we came really to the point of recording this broadcast for the future, many men and women today are defining who they are. I'm having these feelings, and my feelings define who I am. But yeah. I have found even in my own personal life, my feelings lie to me all the time.
Absolutely. And this is why God didn't put our identity in us.
Right.
Our identity is in Christ. And so, yeah, I feel 25 different ways 10 minutes a day.
Exactly. So let me ask you.
Yeah.
Because this ultimately is all about people. Mm. Not about an issue. It's about people.
Right.
People whom God loves.
Right.
People for whom Jesus died.
Right.
So as Christ's ambassadors, if you will,
mm-hmm.
how are we to see gay-identified men and women?
Well, I think the first thing, we have to love them.
Yes.
As the Bible tells us to love them. And I would say not to see them as gay. I would see them as people that may be struggling with different issues, just like I am struggling with different. I don't normally ask someone, hey, identify me as a heterosexual. I don't walk up and say, hey, here's my heterosexual friend. You know, because that's not what we should be. We are a brother in Christ. Behavior can change. And that's what we need to focus on, that I can love this person, but not the behavior. Just like I would expect them to love me, but not all my behaviors.
Yes. And I really think it's very critically important that we keep Jesus as our perfect role model.
It has to be.
When Jesus confronted people, and he did.
Yeah, well,
and he did.
He sure did.
He challenged.
He offended a lot of people.
But he always looked past the sin of the person and saw the person.
And that's really what it is, the misplaced identity. In these movements, identity is in behavior. And when I'm talking with someone in his lifestyle, I say, you know, your identity has to be separate from that. Because your behavior changes every now and then. You grow, you change. I used to do this, as Paul says. I don't do that anymore. Identity is in Christ. It's fixed. It does not change.
Well, let me ask you on a very personal level, because you're a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
You're a pastor on board with a substantial pulpit in our city. I'm assuming you encounter, you meet men and women that are struggling with
absolutely.
The brokenness of same-sex attraction.
Absolutely, yeah.
Where do you start in ministering to them?
I think first of all, we start that we let them know that we love them.
Yes.
And that right there is 80% of the battle, because what they're coming in with is that you can't love me if you don't accept my behavior.
Right.
And so we say, no, we love you. First, I want you to hear that and see where that is in the Word. See where that is, because you go back to Jesus if you're a believer. See where that is in the Word, and then move from there. Not start with, well, you know, your behavior is offensive, because my behavior sometimes can be offensive.
True in all our lives.
Hmm.
You know, I remember very, very well, many, many, many years before I became a Christian, and the only way to illustrate this is just to say it. I remember vividly to this day, again, I was so self-absorbed, so self-focused. I wanted everyone to agree with the way I was living, the direction of life I chose to go. I didn't know at that particular time that there was a way out. And unfortunately, during my 17 years living as a gay-identified man here in Bakersfield, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and New York City, at no time did I ever, during those 17 years, did I ever have a Christian approach me and say, you know what, Philip, there's a way out of that. Now, I'm not offering that, again, as an indictment on the church.
Right.
It would have been nice to know I had an option. And that's to a large degree what we have done at the very beginning of His Way Out Ministries. And our message today is, you have a choice.
You do.
There is a choice.
There isn't a gay gene.
No.
There are studies that are out there. I've read numbers, and you've read numbers, that there are certain genes that kind of lean towards certain things. And they try to come up with all kinds of things. They even... they have different numbers, but there is no gay gene. There are just desires that we have and things that we want to pull to. You know, I was thinking about as driving over here. If I'm driving down the road and my car pulls to the left, right? It pulls to the left. And I'm thinking, you know, hey, one thing I could do is get my car to pull to the right, and then that would fix it, right? It really wouldn't. What I need to do is to get my car to go straight, to be balanced. God's word is the only thing that brings balance into our lives.
Agreed.
Because our flesh wants to pull left, wants to pull right, wants to pull back, wants to pull forward. And that's a horrible way to live.
It really is. It really is. And you're absolutely right. To date, there's not one scientific study that has conclusively proven that homosexuality is inborn.
Yeah.
For the past 50, 60 years, numerous scientists have set out to prove that, many of which were gay identified themselves, so they had an agenda.
Well,
but to date, even though many people, including a lot of Christian men and women, have bought into born that way, there's no basis of fact or truth to it.
Well, a lot of it is because of what's being projected on us through the TVs and media and social media that it's okay, so that if you speak up against it, you're somehow harming the person's psycho, the way they think, the way they feel. And this is why they'll bring in suicides and all these kind of things, bullying and all this stuff. And, you know, just recently, the school shooting, one of the people involved was transitioning. In one of the recent school shooters, but you didn't hear any about it in the news. In other words, they talked about the one shooter, but not the other one. So there is this protection that they have of people somehow that will, if we protect them and give them safe spaces, then life will be better for all of us. Now, as you mentioned, the Equality Act, which they voted on last week and is going to go to the full House.
Yes.
This basically says, this radio show that we're having here at KRI and many other discussions around the country will be deemed illegal, and we could be prosecuted by the government for simply talking about these issues or talking against these issues of same-sex sexual orientation. Because if we don't affirm this lifestyle, then somehow we are bigoted and homophobic.
And that's often where I challenge, because gay-identified men and women, if they want to embrace their same-sex attraction, they want to be gay-identified, they want to be a member of the gay community, that is their right, that is their choice. But you don't have the right to demand that everyone agree with you.
Well, see, that's just it. Being a minority, as we're talking about, and I've run into a number of people, it blows my mind that here's a group of people who want to be classified as a minority. Have special rights, and I've spent all my life trying to get out of being a minority, and now you have these groups trying to get in to be a minority. Because if everyone's a minority, no one's a minority.
Good point. Excellent point.
So, yeah.
You know, I often, especially when I'm conversing with teenage boys and girls, if there's one question that they ask, it's a part and above all others, it's this. There are so many mixed messages being generated today about homosexuality.
Right.
Where do I find truth?
Right.
And the only truth I know on this subject is within God's word.
It's the word of God. And it's the fascinating thing, and you know this, Pastor, the fascinating thing about the word of God is that when you begin to research it about homosexuality, actually you start with the suppression of the truth in Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Because it was from the suppressing of the truth that God gave them over to all these things. And so homosexuality is the result or the symptom of suppressing the truth of God.
Yes.
Adultery is the symptom. Workaholicness is the symptom. All these are symptoms of suppressing the truth. So when I talk with young people like you do, I take them right back to the Word of God, and I find out that they either don't know the Word of God, don't want to know the Word of God, or turned off by the Word of God.
Yes.
And so our goal is to help turn them back on to the Word of God through the Holy Spirit. Because only until the Holy Spirit gets into their life will there be a transformational change. Otherwise, they will want me to affirm their behavior.
Absolutely. The many men and women that I know personally around the world that have journeyed out of the brokenness of same-sex attraction, some of these men and women have gone on to marry and have children, and some have elected to remain single. But I'm not aware of a man or a woman that I know personally that's journeyed out of the brokenness of same-sex attraction apart from a deep, genuine, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And I believe that's true because at the core of the brokenness and various other habits, addictions, and compulsive behaviors, we're talking about a spiritual problem which requires a spiritual solution, and His name is Jesus.
His name is Jesus. And, let me ask you, Pastor, as one who's in that lifestyle, when did you sense a change or turn?
It was when really I had exhausted everything that the world had to offer, being pretty successful individual in the world, and I had completely exhausted everything that gay seemingly promised, and I realized this isn't working. This isn't gay at all. And thankfully, it was my family who had surrendered their lives to Christ. Their impact on my life was huge.
Okay.
It was huge.
So you start seeing your family change.
Yes.
and that caused you to re-examine it.
They had found something, more appropriately someone, I had not, and it was working, and everything I had tried didn't work.
Now, for someone that was in the lifestyle for so long, was it difficult to come out?
Yes and no. I've shared many, many times. There was a few miracles. I don't even know how to describe that happened in my life instantaneously. Mm-hmm. All involvement in homosexuality stopped. I was a party boy. So mm-hmm. while drinking and drugs mm-hmm. stopped. And I shared many times before also that it took a while to finally get victory of those doggone cigarettes. But there was a lot of things that kind of resolved itself overnight. Mm. One of the miracles, if not the major miracle that service in my life immediately was, I couldn't wait to get to church. Mm. Trust me, that was a miracle because my limited interaction with the Christian community often was not real favorable.
Well, I would probably guess
so. I could have easily formed the attitude and belief, Christians, no thank you. Mm-hmm. But I found myself in my first church, and thank God, for a staff, a church staff who loved me through a process and a congregation that made all the difference in the world.
Wow.
We all need that love, encouragement, and support of the church.
Are you still in contact with anybody or those that are still in the lifestyle?
Yes.
And
Very, very few, because unfortunately, most of the men in particular that I used to know and run with, the gang, if you will, many of them many years ago died of AIDS. Mm. So I witnessed that personally, which mm-hmm. is still a major, major concern in reality today. Mm-hmm. And again, another subject matter, if you will, that the media often is not sharing and reporting on. And my question to them on a regular basis is, why aren't you reporting on this? Because even though the medical profession regarding HIV/AIDS has made great strides in treatment, the rate of infection goes up all the time. When's the last time you heard about that?
No.
It's probably been quite a long time.
Yeah.
But that's the reality that we face on a daily basis at His Way Out. I find myself, again, in particular with young, gay-identified young men in their late teens, early 20s. Mm-hmm. We don't always agree on this subject matter. We don't even agree on what the truth of Scripture has to say. But I find myself on a regular basis, please, just stop having sex. Because God's trying His utmost to protect you from unseen danger.
That, and that is the same. That's the same conversation you have for people having sex outside of marriage.
Yes.
Stop having sex. But the culture is saying, no, have sex. Figure out what you want. Go after it and then see if this works for you.
And our sexuality is a potent part of who we are. And left unchecked, it can literally sit in the driver's seat of our lives.
Well, you're right. And that's why we have a society that says, you know, feel what you want, do what you want. One of the most powerful things about sin is pleasure, unchecked.
Yes, absolutely. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Christians are often, if not very, very often, fearful of sounding too judgmental and
absolutely.
Challenging confronting someone.
Absolutely.
But do we not, as Christians, have a responsibility when we see a man or woman going down a pathway of life that we know is going to be hurtful? Don't we have a responsibility to go privately, one-on-one, and say, you know what? I'm really concerned about you because the path you're traveling right now is not good.
Well, yeah, Jay Adams, who's a famous counselor, he basically formulated the idea of directive counseling, nothetic counseling. And basically, the Word of God is directive. And so what we do is we say, you know, the Word of God says that this behavior is destructive. Now, I have a personal feeling, but I agree with the Word of God. This behavior is destructive. You see, because if we take it back to what the Word of God says, I mean, what they want is an affirmation from us. They don't want an affirmation from the Word of God. They want you, Phil, me, Angela, they want you to say, just say you're okay with me. And I'll say, well, the Word of God says none of us are okay. All have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God.
Yes.
The only remedy is Jesus.
Yes. And again, because we are sexual beings, that's mm-hmm. how God created us.
So, yeah.
And really, bottom line is our sexuality is a wonderful gift from God, providing it stays within His well-defined holy boundary lines.
Well, and look at where the atmosphere we're in now with all the priests and all the Catholic Church and the things that are going on now with all the issues that are coming out, and even just recently here in our own town, you know, one of our dear friends. I think that the issue, and you said it right, the issue of sexuality, God made sex. He made us sexual beings. But He said, use it in this context. anything out of this context, whether it's pedophilia, whether it's adultery, whether it's same sex, whether it's all, it's not according to his word, his will. And there will be consequences to it. Yes. And we're seeing it right in front of our eyes.
And if we truly are a faithful follower of Christ Jesus, in terms of sexual expression, faithful followers of Christ have two options. Yep. One is a man and a woman, two becoming one, remaining faithful to one another, doing their utmost to live within his well-defined holy boundary lines. Option two revolves around a question. Here it comes. Are you single? Yep. You're not to be sexually active, period.
Yeah, you shouldn't
now
be.
Go around the world and preach and teach that little number.
Well, yeah. Well, abstinence doesn't abstinence won't fill a stadium.
Good point.
And it won't fill a church either.
Yes. Let's take this a step further. Why do you suppose, I'd like to get your take on this, why do you suppose the reality of change, a person can change, has been and continues to be so greatly challenged today?
Well, you can look back to the beginning of time, the issue of do we really change and how far do we change? God is the only change agent that we have. He changes us. As a matter of fact, Scripture says that some water, some plant, but God gives the growth. He's the only one that can change us. We have willpower. We can choose to, every January, I'm going to go on a diet. And that lasts for about how long?
Mm-hmm.
One day. The fact is, true change only comes through true transformation. And only God does that. You know, there's this theory that we're evolving, that we're evolution, you know, that we've evolved from the slime of the ocean and we are this kind of thing. That doesn't work either. We haven't evolved because we're doing the basic same things we did in the garden. Lie, cheat, and steal. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, boastful pride of life. That hasn't changed. What the only change is possible is through transformation of Jesus Christ.
And is that not the greatest change anyone can experience?
Absolutely.
Is
Hallelujah.
To know that your ultimate destination has now been changed from hell to heaven?
Absolutely. We're taking an offering. We're taking an offering right now.
Well, let me ask you, from men and women that struggle with same-sex attraction, change, their definition would be, I demand that God take this away from me. I want it completely and totally eradicated.
Right.
And that has happened in lies, but it hasn't happened in all.
Right. Let me suggest this. I don't know if all those that are struggling with same-sex attraction is really same-sex attraction. I think a lot of things is thrown into same-sex attraction because that's the kind of catchword of the day. Abandonment issues, anxiety issues, abuse issues, all these kind of things have rolled up into that, well, maybe I'm attracted to the other side. We've seen over the years where people go into prison and come out same-sex attracted. So then prison creates same-sex attractive. Now what it does, it creates an environment where people begin to rely and feel compassionate to other people. And they get really, really close and think that then is love. That then is who I'm supposed to be with, that guy or that girl. And it's really not true.
Because we come back once again. I have these very strong feelings and emotions. Mm-hmm. This must be who I am. Let's celebrate it.
I have very strong feelings and emotion every time I go by a drive-thru. But if I gave into that, I'd be 800 pounds. Pastor.
But we know for a fact, according to the authority of Scripture, and I hear this all the time.
Yeah.
Now, with God, all things are possible.
Yeah.
I hear that all the time. The question for me is, do we still believe it?
Well, and there are some things you and I are going to struggle with the rest of our life. Paul had a thorn in his flesh, and it's a fact of life. We aren't going to be freed from these things. But James tells us, the book of James tells us, he says to count it all joy that you experience various trials. And some of those we're going to have all of life. And maybe it's just to keep us humble. I don't think anyone ever, even heterosexuals, is free and just tension-free. We all have tensions and issues going on in us. But that does not negate God's word to say, well, since I'm struggling or since my dad didn't or since I got abused or since this, then I need to be in this lifestyle because that'll compound the issue. And we're seeing, and you know this because you talk to a lot of people in the lifestyle, suicide is up.
Yeah,
depression is up. Drug use is up. Alcohol abuse is up. All these things are up. And partners are up. They're going from one partner to the other partner to the other partner. There is no contentment. There's absolute misery. And I said one time, there's nothing happy about being gay.
No. To call homosexuality gay is the ultimate contradiction.
Well, the word was stolen and taken, and this is what we have to push back and using the terminology. Say, gay literally means happy and content. Well, are you happy and content? We don't really know.
Yes.
So let's come up with another word.
The reality is, too, that we all have a sinful nature.
We all do.
We have a sinful nature. We were born into a fallen world. And what does that tell us?
Absolutely.
Our brokenness, because we're all broken,
is
going to manifest in some form or fashion. Yeah. And for some men and women, concerning other factors, often happen when they were little boys, little girls, which they had no control over, they can find themselves in a battle of being drawn to members of the same sex. But it's not the unpardonable sin.
No, it isn't.
Change is possible.
Absolutely.
And that can vary from person to person, different degrees, just like someone who struggles with alcohol or drug addiction.
Yep.
It differs from person to person. But the Word of God is crystal clear, especially in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, which says, "And this is what some of you were past tense.
Right. It says, this is what you were, homosexuals. Exactly. But you were. That you would change. And how is that possible changed?
Only through Christ.
Now, there are conversion groups out there. You've heard of those.
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. We are quickly running out of time, and I knew our jumping into this between you and I, it was going to take more than one program. So you're coming back again with me next week. For all those listening, thanks so much for tuning in. If you'd like more information about His Way Out Ministries, please visit our website, which is hiswayout.com. You'll find testimonies, educational videos, articles, a wealth of information there for you to use and pass along. Once again, thanks for joining me this morning. Hope you'll join us again next Saturday, same time, same station. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.